Greetings, beloved, and welcome again to From the Pastor's Desk. I am your host and the pastor here at Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Temperance, Michigan, Joe Sitters. You can reach me via email at pastorjoe@gmbc.com. We encourage you to join us for services. Our building is located at 6977 Summerfield Road, Temperance, Michigan, 48182. We're located just two blocks north of Toledo, Ohio, really close to the state line there. Our Sunday school is at 10 a.m. Our main worship is at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., and we currently do not have a midweek service. That brings us to what this is, and we always try in the first of the month when we do our From the Pastor's Desk to give a little explanation as to what it is. It is basically a brief reading of a track that quite literally is coming from my desk. It's usually related to things we're teaching in Sunday school or things that we are preaching in main service. Today's track is entitled A Just God, written by C.H. Spurgeon, and it tracks very well with what we're about to teach in Sunday school, which is the reason for its choosing. I do generally have extra copies of these tracks, so if you were listening and you'd like to have a copy, you can reach out to me and just let me know. If you're listening in general, we've done a lot of prayer here recently over what this ministry looks like. As some of you know who have been listening for the past year, we used to do a lot more recording than what we're currently doing, because we were doing the morning and evening devotions from Charles Spurgeon every day. So there was a lot more recording than what we're doing now, but we're still praying over the effectiveness of this ministry, because like anything else, it's time that it could be taking away from a different ministry or something that utilizes a different outreach. So if you do listen and you do enjoy these audios, I'm not giving you homework, but if you have the time, I would love for you to just shoot me a quick email, let me know that you're listening. You can also go through Podbean or iTunes and just hit like or comment. Generally, it makes it easier for folks to find us. We're not trying to get you to advertise for us. We're just trying to make sure that this outreach is needed, that it's effective. If we do decide to go away from it, it would be replaced by something else. But for the current season, we're going to keep going here. And today we're going to read, as I said, A Just God, written by C.H. Spurgeon. When I was under conviction of sin, I had a deep and sharp sense of the justice of God. Sin, whatever it might be to other people, became to me an intolerable burden. It was not so much that I feared the wrath to come, but that I feared sin. I knew myself to be so horribly guilty that I remember feeling that if God did not punish me for sin, He ought to do so. I felt that the judge of all the earth ought to condemn such a sin as mine. I sat on the judgment seat and I condemned myself to perish, for I confess that had I been God, I could have done no other than send such a guilty creature as I down to the lowest hell. All the while, I had upon my mind a deep concern for the honor of God's name and the integrity of His moral government. I felt that it would not satisfy my conscience if it could be forgiven unjustly. The sin that I had committed must be punished. But then there was the question how God could be just and yet justify me, who had been so guilty. I asked my heart, how can He be just and yet the justifier? Romans 3:26. I was worried and wearied with this question. Neither could I see any answer to it. Certainly, I could never have invented an answer which would have satisfied my conscience. The doctrine of the atonement is to my mind one of the surest proofs of the divine inspiration of Holy Scripture. Who would or could have thought of the just ruler dying for the unjust rebel? This is no teaching of human mythology or dream of poetic imagination. This method of expiation is only known among men because it is a fact. Fiction could not have devised it. God Himself ordained it. It is not a matter which could have been imagined. I had heard the plan of salvation by the sacrifice of Jesus from my youth up, but I did not know any more about it in my innermost soul than if I had been born a Hottentot. It came to me as a new revelation, as fresh as if I had never read the Scriptures, that Jesus was declared to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, that God might be just. When I was anxious about the possibility of a just God pardoning me, I understood and saw by faith that He who is the Son of God became man, and in His own blessed person bore my sin in His own body on the tree. I saw the chastisement of my peace was laid upon Him, and with His stripes I was healed, Isaiah 53, verse 5. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever understood how God can be just to the full, not remitting not remitting penalty nor blunting the edge of the sword, and yet can be infinitely merciful and can justify the ungodly who turn to Him. It was because the Son of God, supremely, gloriously, in His matchless person, undertook to vindicate the law by bearing the sentence due me, that therefore God is able to pass by my sin. The law of God was more vindicated by the death of Christ than it would have been had all transgressions been punished forever. For the Son of God to suffer for sin was a more glorious establishment of the government of God than for the whole race to suffer. Jesus has borne the death penalty on our behalf. Behold the wonder! There He hangs upon the cross. This is the greatest sight you will ever see, Son of God and Son of Man. There He hangs, bearing pains unutterable, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Oh, the glory of that sight! The innocent suffering, the Holy One condemned, the ever-blessed made a curse, the infinitely glorious put to a shameful death. The more I look at the sufferings of the Son of God, the more sure I am that they must meet my case. Why did He suffer, if not to turn aside the penalty from us? If then He turned it aside by His death, it is turned aside, and those who believe in Him need not fear it. It must be so, that since expiation is made, God is able to forgive without shaking the basis of His throne, or in the least degree blotting out the statute book. Conscience gets a full answer to her tremendous question. The wrath of God against iniquity, whatever that may be, must be beyond all conception terrible. Well did Moses say, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger?" Psalm chapter 90, verse 11. Yet when we hear the Lord of glory cry, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Psalm 22, verse 1, and see Him yielding up the ghost, we feel that the justice of God has received abundant vindication by obedience so perfect and death so terrible, rendered by so divine a person. If God Himself bows before His own law, what more can be done? There is more in the atonement by way of merit than there is in all human sin by way of demerit. The great gulf of Jesus' loving self-sacrifice can swallow up the mountains of our sin, all of them. For the sake of the infinite good of this one representative man, the Lord may well look with favor upon other men, however unworthy they may be in and of themselves. It was a miracle of miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ should stand in our stead and bear that we might never bear His Father's righteous ire. But He has done so. It is finished, He says in John chapter 19, verse 30. God will save the sinner because He did not spare His own Son. God can pass by your transgressions because He laid those transgressions upon His only begotten Son. What is it to believe in Him? Is it not merely to say He is God and the Savior, but to trust Him wholly and entirely and take Him for all your salvation from this time forth and forever, your Lord, your Master, your all? If you will have the Lord Jesus, He has you already. If you believe on Him, I tell you, you cannot go to hell. But that were to make the perfect sacrifice of Christ to none effect. If the Lord Jesus Christ died in my stead, why should I die also? Every believer by faith has laid his hands on the sacrifice and made it his own, and therefore may rest assured that he can never perish. The Lord would not receive this offering on our behalf and then condemn us to die. The Lord cannot read our pardon written in the blood of His own Son and then smite us. That were impossible. Oh, that you may have grace given you at once to look away to Jesus, who is the fountainhead of mercy to guilty man. Will you come into this lifeboat just as you are? Here is safety from the wreck. Accept the sure deliverance. Leap for it just as you are, and leap now. I will tell you this thing about myself to encourage you. My sole hope for heaven lies in the full atonement made upon Calvary's cross for the ungodly. On that I firmly rely. I have not a shadow of hope anywhere else. You are in this same condition as I am, for we, neither of us, including the reader here, have anything of our own worth thinking of as a ground of trust. Let us join hands and stand together at the foot of the cross and trust our souls once for all to Him who shed His blood for the guilty. We will be saved by the one and the same Savior. If you perish trusting Him, I must perish too. What can I do more to prove my own confidence in the gospel which is set before you? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once more for the opportunity to preach and teach your word. We're thankful, Father, for this outreach ministry. I pray, Father, for those who will be listening to this, that this would be the day in which they see their salvation pass before their very eyes, that they would see you and recognize you, that they would hear your voice, for you are calling your elect to repentance. We thank you, Father, once more, and pray that you receive all of the honor and the glory for this outwork, as well as all the other work that takes place from our sister churches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.